heading for ever more financial repression and currency debasement. Some point it'll have to stop, but it can go on for another 5-10 years, I think, especially in the States. We're going to see unrealized gains taxation. We're going to see wealth taxes. We're going to see the biggest tax of all, currency debasement. That's just, the system can't stop now, and it was never designed to stop.
Ian, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Andy.
Thank you for coming up on an interview with me. Let's talk about the physical market here. That's what you specialize in. What do you see going on with your clients? Are you seeing an influx with a lot of buy orders right now? Just where you see gold breaking out, it looks like, to some new highs here. And you see silver, it looks like just today, breaking out significantly over 25. What are you seeing in the physical market?
Yeah, we've had quite a stress test, doesn't we? It seems to be week or less it breaks. I mean, a lot of people were saying 2450 was a key. Well, it just blew straight through that. And just an hour ago, now it doesn't even look like it's stopping at 2550. So whether we retest that or not, I don't know. It's definitely, the volatility has been slowing the retail down. And now I think the speed of this rise is actually affecting retail. I think people are, okay, I'll wait for a pullback. It was $22.50 last month.
Right.
I think the effects of the volatility are preventing a lot of people from buying or adding to their position. It's not hindering first-time buyers.
Got it. Do you see when it pulls back to, let's say, a 22 or a 23, do you see an influx of new retail buying coming in?
No, more the savvy long-term players who just want to keep accumulating. That's generally the people, some of them have been this for 6 or 7 decades, literally.
Right.
They buy heavily on those dips.
Really? So it's the silver stackers are really the ones that have been doing this a while. They're the ones that are coming in and buying on the dips.
From what we're seeing. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Let's talk about you and why you got into this. It seems like this is a very competitive business, if you would. What are your thoughts on, tell me about your story and why you decided to do this.
Sure. So I grew up always making, building things. So from an early age, I went full-time into construction, did 38 years in the UK in construction. Then my wife and I immigrated to the States in 2019. And I did 2 and a bit years construction. But around 2017, for some reason, I started watching YouTube and I got drawn to financial channels and learning about central banks, fiat currency, the Bank of International Settlements. And I start watching precious metals, YouTubes. One example, Mneko 64, I'd watch his, pick up on his book reviews. I'd buy the books, I'd read the books. And very quickly, I came to the conclusion for a working, an ordinary person to secure wealth privately, silver was the only and the obvious answer. Very, very simple, very uncomplicated. Just keep accumulating physical silver. And then in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you can have a lot more purchasing power. So I'd start talking to people about all I was learning and discuss. And over half of them would start buying substantial amounts of precious metals. So in 2020, we decided, my wife and I, to launch ARK Silver.
Interesting. So it was just really just this change of, if you would, educating yourself.
Yep.
And going on to this journey of just really sound money.
Yeah.
It sounds like to me.
I've never trusted stocks. I used to dabble a bit. For every time you won, you'd lose. And then there was taxes and fees and trust issue now with brokers holding the title to your stocks and shares. And always having worked in construction, always working with physical, real things. Silver is physical, real. It's very, very simple to understand the mathematics around it.
Let's talk about the mathematics of it again, if you would. knowing your background, then where do you see this? And again, I'm not saying project a price or anything, but I do want you to project a little bit. Where is this whole thing going? You see everything from just the government spending to not only that, just these forever wars to just an infringement on our privacy. Where do you see all of this going? And talk to me about that.
We're heading for ever more financial repression and currency debasement. Some point it'll have to stop, but it can go on for another 5-10 years, I think, especially in the States. We're going to see unrealized gains taxation. We're going to see wealth taxes. We're going to see the biggest tax of all, currency debasement. That's just, the system can't stop now. And it was never designed to stop. Ever since we came off supporting, backing the dollar one-to-one with gold, it eventually fails. And the whole system is designed on creating more and more currency. One, to pay the interest on new loans that are created literally out of nowhere, then now currency has to be created out of nowhere to pay the interest and the principal back. And not only that, the people who run the system, the bankers and the owners of the banks, they're taking a cut out of this system and they're buying real things with it. So they're extracting real wealth out of this system as well as the currency continually devaluing. And I mean, look at the dollar now, less than 1% of its value left against gold since the Federal Reserve was formed. It's but that 1% is our 100% now. You know, so our 100% can go to 1%. So you know, in effect, the dollar will only have 1/1000th of its value that it did have in 1913. And fundamentally, the dollar is a derivative of gold. It only has value whilst it can buy gold. And at some people with gold will not be willing to sell it for dollars. And that's when the dollar ends.
Right. So I guess the next question would be, so that's when the dollar ends. Would that then, once it's ended, would it be gold or would it be just a gold-backed currency? Or what do you foresee with that?
As far as I can realistically perceive into the future, the dollar will carry on for a fair while because I am convinced we're going to go fully digital. We're so close. I mean, almost all transactions are digital and not physical anyway. But, you know, whether it's debit card, credit card, wires, you name it, it's all code. All that data is stored. We'll go to a full digital system. And what will happen then, we'll have a $2 system. We'll have old dollars and new dollars. So the new dollars will be enough to keep the system working, enough to send out paychecks. So the police will turn up to work, truck drivers will turn up to work, gasoline will get delivered, food will get delivered, cities will carry on functioning, people will carry on living paycheck to paycheck, and they won't notice a change. The people who notice a change are the people who haven't taken out financial insurance against this situation, because what will happen, a lot of the old dollars will get locked up. And the excuse will be, well, we can't transfer all the dollars through to the new CBDC straight away because we've got to get it right. We've got to smooth out the wrinkles. But the reason they won't be able to transfer all the existing dollars is that existing system, our current system, will be collapsing. And if you just turn it into digital, well, it's still collapsing. If you've got too many dollars trying to claim too few things, the apparent price of those things go up. So if the bank, the Federal Reserve, the government, the owners of the banks can pull off having a full CBDC with the promise that all the dollars will transfer at some point, but then they renege on that deal, they could theoretically do quantitative tightening in the trillions without having to do quantitative tightening themselves. Those old dollars can still exist. They can still be gaining interest. You can log on and you can watch them, but you won't be able to spend them because you'll only be able to spend the new digital dollar. Probably anything that will be legal tender. It seems so simple, but it seems so diabolical. I think that's really how they will perpetuate the use of the dollar. I mean, you add to the fact we've now got trillions of dollars of capital fleeing to the States. I think that's part of the reason we have inflated real estate. We have inflated stocks and shares. We have this unusual thing happening with Bitcoin. Well, where's all that those extra dollars coming from? I think they're fleeing from nations whose currencies are dying faster than the dollar.
Yeah, it's already happened. You bring up two things that are interesting. Let's talk a little bit about, well, actually, let's talk about crypto first. Is that a direct competitor of yours, would you say?
Could I give up a case? I have got a friend who did sell some Bitcoin and buy some silver. I haven't had anybody try to sell me silver so they can buy Bitcoin. Has it prevented purchases?
I think it
might have actually drawn more attention to the fiat currency and the lie that fiat currency is. I think it might have actually been positive for gold and silver sales, because I have a lot of friends and a lot of customers who have both.
Right.
And maybe they wouldn't have considered silver if they hadn't worked out, you know, they need to get out of the dollar. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, what I found interesting was like the whole crypto community, which I'm not a part of. What I like about it, it's really suspicious of the Fed, and that's why they launched cryptocurrency. So it's kind of like they're a cousin of mine on this trip together, if you would.
Yes. Yeah.
If that makes sense. Now, you also specialize in palladium. And a metal I've never heard of, I want to make sure I get this name right, it's osmium. I've never heard of that. Tell me about osmium.
Yeah, so osmium is the eighth and final precious metal, isolated late 1803, early 1804 by two British scientists. It's the rarest non-radioactive element. It's approximately 1,500 times more rare than gold. It's predominantly found when you mine for platinum, but in tiny, tiny amounts. I mean, I have a piece here. To get enough osmium to make this crystalline piece, you need to mine about 10,000 tons of platinum ore. It's so incredibly rare. The best estimates, if you strip mine the whole earth, literally every rock, every mountain, everything, you might get 15 cubic meters of osmium.
Wow.
We're not going to do that. So practically, we'll probably, in the foreseeable time frame, have about 25 tons to work with.
Worldwide or in storage?
Worldwide, yeah. We're adding about half a ton a year, approximately.
Okay, so there's a huge supply issue.
Yes.
Line. And then what is it good for or used for?
It would be probably as useful and as versatile as silver. It's the densest element. It's got the highest compressibility factor. It's got incredible properties. And when you use it as an alloy of other metals, it makes it incredibly hard wearing. It's incredible for electrical contacts. I think they still make fountain ink pen tips with it because it's incredibly hard wearing. But there's no real bulk application because there's not enough of it for that application. It'd be like me inventing the wheel, delivering 20 wheels, then my client comes back, say, can I have some more? And I said, well, no, that's it. There's 20. You have 20 of them. Use them wisely. And this scarcity has actually caused it to have little value, but because it's a novelty, even though normally things that are rare have higher value. This is the rarest non-radioactive element in the known universe, let alone on Earth.
Well, then how valuable is it? I mean, how is it measured? Is it measured per ounce? And what's the price been doing in the last several years then?
So the price of raw osmium is measured in troy ounces, typically, and it's around $600 to $900 a troy ounce. But it's of no use. It's just a novelty, and it hasn't got a great demand. Nearly 50 years ago, a Swiss artist said on a journey, can he crystallize this, turn it into a crystalline form, a similar process to making diamonds from carbon, and therefore create something beautiful, incredibly durable, which has demand. 10 years ago, this Swiss scientist met a German entrepreneur called Ingo Wolf, and Ingo saw the opportunity that if you can create demand for the scarcest element, now you can have value. And so they've been working together for 10 years and they are retailing and wholesaling in 42 countries, crystalline osmium. It's an incredibly difficult process. Only one, this one Swiss company has managed to do it. So they have a natural monopoly on this and they only sell to the Osmium Institute of Germany, who then sell throughout the world.
And that's the piece you showed me. Is the
that's a piece here. This is pretty poor light at the moment. In sunlight, you see a lot more blues. It's basically when you expand, it's layers and layers of hexagonal crystals forming perfect mirrors. So it actually reflects all of the sunlight straight back at you. So it has more sparkle than diamond.
Interesting. So there's a lot of application in jewelry then. That's primarily yeah. what it can be used for.
Here's an example. Here's a Swiss watch. Using it for the watch face.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's different. Nobody has that watch. That's the thing. Nobody has that background.
No. Yeah. It makes Rolex look very, very common.
Yeah, right.
So are you seeing on a retailer? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the uses for jewelry are extensive because it's incredibly tough. I mean, this is I'm putting a lot of force on that. I can't bend that. That's only half a millimeter thick. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly tough. This doesn't come off like glitter. It's really, really tough. It's actually more abrasive than diamond. It's of similar hardness. It's more inert than diamond. It's actually the most inert substance. There is nothing more inert. There is no acid or alkali that will touch it. It's the only thing that will destroy it. If you heat it 400 degrees, it will start to break down. But apart from that, so the applications, I can show you an example here. Here's a bear shape that they make.
Mm-hmm.
You see how fine the detail is? So that cut with electrical discharge machine. So it's an incredibly high voltage down a very, very fine wire, and it sucks the metal away atom by atom. It can be cut into incredibly intricate shapes, which lends it to jewelry applications. And so I think particularly in the US, that will be the major use for it. So far in Europe, it's been family offices have been buying large quantities, and they've done really well. They started buying under $600 a gram, and we're now trading over $1,400 a gram. So yeah. Steady 15% a year for 7 years.
15%, that's a good return. That's a great return. So do you see?
Yes, yeah, it is. For something real that you can hold. Yeah.
Right. So do you see a lot of retail investors coming in to buy it specifically to store wealth? Or
I think it's going to be both. And it crosses over. You can buy pieces at a later time, can be made into jewelry. As the demand for the jewelry picks up and the value of those pieces rise, the value of a piece that's cut, designed to build into a ring or a pendant will have increased value. So it's a bit of both. Yeah. It's great couples where the lady wants something shiny and sparkly and the guy wants something real and tangible, sound money. It's a great combination. It ticks both boxes.
Yeah, they both get what they want. Tell me about this. Tell me about how do you service your clients and people that want to buy precious metals or people just in your area? Do you just get them off the street or are you servicing people across the country or worldwide?
So, yeah, we sell across the states. I think we've sold to nearly every state now. We have sold to Canada, Australia, Germany, UK. If we get a request, we will inquire and find out what the shipping and insurance costs are and what the import costs are.
Got it. And do you sell primarily silver or gold?
The bulk of our sales have been silver. We do sell a lot of gold. We've been incredibly competitive on gold kilos for large purchasers. But we tend quite often new buyers will do a mix. Generally, we recommend that people have 75% silver, 25% gold, you know, as a starter.
Got it. Okay. Any other advice you give somebody that wants to start accumulating physical metals, whether that's gold or silver, what advice could you give them?
Get some advice, get to know your dealer, because you make your dealer your friend. You'll get the deals that don't even get advertised. You'll get access to secondary market products that don't get advertised. You'll find all dealers will have a limited capacity to buy back. So if somebody walks in off the street with hundreds of thousands of dollars, it will typically get placed with other dealers or with a wholesaler below wholesale. So if you get to know your dealer, you can get tipped off. You can have access to those deals, and you know, then they don't have to go back to the wholesaler. So you can purchase a little bit above wholesale, but way below retail. So I think it's good to have that personal relationship. I mean, there's nothing wrong with shopping around, getting the flash sales and the deals. It is incredibly competitive out there, but ideally you want to form a long-term relationship, because at some point you might want to sell a bit and you might need some help getting the best price.
Yep, absolutely. Well, if somebody wants to, is watching this interview and they want to contact you, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, our website is arksgo.com. And my phone number is 307-264-9441.
Excellent. Okay. I will put all of this in the show notes as well and link to you. So whoever, if they're looking for some physical gold or physical silver, or just want to talk to you, they'll have access to all of that.
That's right. Yep.
All right. Thank you, Ian. I do appreciate your time.
Thank you, Andy.
You bet.